or A, B, or C or something. Is that not one of them? There you go. You're live. Okay. All right, I guess we're live here. Live at Faith Bible Church. Before we get started, I guess I should get this thing on. Let me give the date and everything. Today is we're at Faith Bible Church. It's 3:30, 2014, and it's Adult Sunday School. And I'm Paul Baalbek, Paul A. Baalbek III, actually. More proper, right? I'm going to open up in prayer, and then Mary's going to come up and bless us with a song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning, Lord. You're so worthy, Father, when we think of how infinite you are, your infinite grace, that you know everything. You know everything, our every thought, yet you still love us. That you sent your son to die for a race of rebels. That you've given us your Holy Spirit the moment we trusted, all by your grace, God. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will be the true teacher here this morning, Father. I pray he would illumine our mind. From within, he would anoint me to speak forth and teach your word accurately, to wield the sword of the Spirit, and that we would be built up, edified, and we would understand more your thinking and what your word teaches about thinking. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Mary's going to come up and she wasn't going to do it. That's why I was going to get right into it. But I figured once she got here and...
My throat doesn't feel right today. Not that anything, like, it just feels like a congestive. So that's why I wasn't going to say, but she's right. I have a limited group of songs, so all the time I'm singing the same ones over, and I just like, I want to come up with new songs, you know, so maybe one day. So I'll just go and do over. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he leads me. And rivers in the desert I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Paul's gonna. I have asked a prayer request, so if you guys could keep these people, I'm gonna just mention who they are since I know people. One is Paul's Aunt Judy. She has the lung cancer.
Fourth stage,
and she just found like a month and a half ago. So just that. So that's what when you wake up one day and you only got so much time to live, and. She's having her, and she has blood clots in her lungs. I don't know if they cleared up from blood thinners or something. And she's going to have her second round of chemo on Tuesday. And she's not a believer, you know, so got to return prayer. And my brother George, he had all this whatever's going on with him. Just keep him in prayer. They found the blood clots in his lungs. It's not from cancer or anything, but like he had hit his head a while back, and he's been like having so all these horrible headaches since in last week or yeah it was the last week or week before he was at the hospital one day. So keep him in prayer. And then my sister Arlene's husband, his best friend, has brain cancer, and they did treat it with chemo, and the clots have come back, and the tumors, whatever, come back in his head. And he's going blind, and he's like, he has dementia, and he's only in his early 50s. His name is Ray, and keep his wife Diane in prayer. It's amazing, you know, all these people that we're surrounded with, and these things happen to them, and they don't have that hope like we have. We have the Lord in our lives where they don't. And just pray that we are used to reach out to share the love of Christ with them, and that they will trust in Him and accept Him in their lives. Thank you.
Amen. And also for Vanessa, you want to keep her in prayer? You all know about that. You know, her mentioning that, it can kind of go right into the message. We're going to deal with, the name of my message today is what God thinks about thinking. Do you know our thinking is very important to God? I was trying to think, what am I going to teach on? You know, I love teaching, I love preaching, but, you know, the pastor, sometimes I don't even know it's in the bulletin, you know, Paul's preaching on this day, and I'm like, wow, that was news to me. But I heard somebody teaching on YouTube a message about our thinking and how important and how much the scripture deals with thinking, you know, and so... you know, scripture tells us to redeem the time, right? Buy it up, walk circumspectly. You know what circumspectly means? It's like somebody on the guy who walks the wire across Niagara Falls, or a cat on the top of a fence, very carefully. Mm-hmm. Redeem the time. The message last week, he was talking about that. We don't know how long we'll have. You know, many younger people, I've worked in the dementia unit, Mary works there now. Younger people, we don't know how long we're going to be here, or even our minds will be. And for an unsafe person listening to maybe through the internet, you know, what do you think, especially when you're young? I got a lot of time. You don't think about death. We're not promised tomorrow, so we redeem the time, and so we want to keep our focus, right? Our focus on the Lord. You know what? So we will walk circumspectly and have a goal, not just wake up every morning, hey, whatever comes today, you know. So we're going to look at what God thinks about thinking. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11. And you wouldn't believe when you start looking into this word, it's just like the word life. I remember Bob George said he didn't understand salvation is just not forgiveness. Most Christians believe that. He starts seeing as he studied, as somebody pointed out, salvation is a resurrection life in you. Christ expressing himself out of you, but you got to get the life in you first before he can do that, right? And when he starts seeing that, he's seeing life in the Bible was popping out at him. You know, I'm trying to think in Romans 5:10. Go there real quick. And keep your finger at Colossians. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more, love Paul's much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So reconciliation, you couldn't, or forgiveness, you couldn't have salvation without that. But that's not salvation. Salvation is what? That word life is Zoe, Z-O-E. That means the same quality of life that God has. He comes by his Holy Spirit, Christ in us, and gives us. And so Bob Joyce starts seeing life. You know, that's what salvation is, you know. Well, when you start looking at the doctrine of thinking, it's all over in Paul's epistles. God wants us to think, you know. What do cults do? They tell you don't think, don't ask questions, you know. Or even in a lot of Christendom, a lot of the denominational and traditional teachings, what do they say? You just got to have faith, brother. Especially when they have no arguments to back up. It's a matter of faith. Faith is based on facts. And facts, you have to think. But a lot of time we don't like thinking, right? Kind of get headaches sometimes, you know. I'm feeling lazy today. But it's not only, you know, what's God say? Study. Study has to do with thinking, right? Come on, we're rightly dividers, right? Everybody knows that verse. Study to show thyself proved unto God. What? Come on. Ha, let's get Pentecostal up in there. You know, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly divided. No more. You got to study. Study involves thinking. You got to think through things. Because Satan, what? Comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? And as an angel of light, he's trying to imitate God. And his errors are so close to the truth. If you don't really know the truth, you haven't thought through the truth, your mind hasn't been illuminated by the Holy Spirit to the truth, you get sucked in. Some that's, you know, you got that movement, I've talked about it before, the counterfeit revival where they're barking like dogs, clucking like chickens, they're what they call laughing in the spirit. You know, they say, don't think, just do it. Don't think. Rodney Howard Brown, and I mention names sometime. I try to be respectful, and I'm not judging somebody's heart if they're saved, but boy, we're required to test teaching. And he says, I'd rather be in a church, even if it's the devil, doing something than a dead traditional church. I don't want to be in a church where the devil's doctrines of demons are being taught. See, and then you get contemplative prayer, they call it, that's coming through the emergent church, and where you repeat a verse over and over. It's a mantra like Hinduism. See, in Eastern thought, don't think, feel. That's coming in the church a lot with the young people. And you know why a lot? Because dead traditional ceremonial denominationalism. It's just, there's not, you know, you might hear some things with some life in there. If you're hearing some good Paul's verses, actually, or even verses, we're going to go to the Old Testament in a minute. Because, you know, we get accused as what? Mid-ex dispensationalists. Oh, we throw out the Old Testament. Well, we're going to prove them wrong a little bit today. All scriptures for us, for our learning, for our comfort. But it's not all about us or to us. And that's why we rightly divide it. But we need to think. God wants us to think. Again, Colossians 1, 9 through 11. And I want you to look at these words that have to do with thinking. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, about actually their salvation, their love in the Spirit, when they understood the grace of God and truth, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with, what's that word? The knowledge of His will and what? Wisdom. Aren't them thinking terms? Wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding? Now, who gives that to you? The Holy Spirit. See, Paul talks in Ephesians, too, about God would enlighten our thinking. It's got to be a Holy Spirit-taught mind, Him illumining our mind to the truth of that word. But He doesn't do the part, you know, it's like, oh, God, speak to me today. It's as you're studying the Word of God, you're memorizing it, you're meditating. See, the a biblical definition, if you want, of meditating is not becoming mindless. It's using your mind. You're meditating, you're thinking, You know, getting our line, our mind in line with God's thinking, that's transformation. I'm not going to say what, or maybe I should tell you now. I'll say it now and then I'll say it again. What is growth? How do you grow? I want you to think about it for a sec. Oh, we're going to think. You're like, man, this is Sunday school, Paul. I just had one cup of coffee. I need two before we get started. Growth is, in Romans chapter 6, I probably never get to it, because I never get to everything I have. Growth is knowing, Paul said. Don't you know? You know. Then he says, reckon. Then what? Present. Romans 12. Growth is knowing some things. Reckoning. What's that mean? Count. Calculate. It's thinking. And then presenting. Presenting yourself. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to tell you again at the end. Sometimes, you know, we learn by repetition. So you see, these thinking terms, God wants us to be thinking believers. What does Peter say? And we can apply that. You know, you say, well, how do I know if we can apply something else, like in the Old Testament, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts, or, you know, after Hebrews to Revelation, how do I know if I can apply that? Well, you take it like a sieve through Paul's epistles. When you understand what's grace true today, what God's doing, now I can say, yeah, I can take that and apply it. You know, like where James says, where do wars come from? Within you, right? Yeah, the flesh. We can learn from that, right? Peter says, be always ready to give a defense for the hope within you. Well, shouldn't we be able to? Shouldn't we be able to? That's why you study some apologetics. What's the reason for your faith? Why do we believe the Bible's the Word of God? There's a lot of other books out there, right? Because there's reasons, prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. Why is the nation Israel still there, that little nation? Because God said they always would be. So there's reasons for our faith, and we need to know in Scripture, and then even some reasons out of Scripture. Like some of the arguments against the Word of God. Do you know how to defend them? Like, I'll give you an example. After Christ's resurrection, I think it was Mary went to the tomb. And in one, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in one of the books, it says there was one angel, and the other one says there was two. So what do skeptics and unbelievers say? See, it contradicts itself. Oh, no, it doesn't. If I only mention there's one, doesn't mean there wasn't two. You see, we need to have some apologetics. Because some people, like C.S. Lewis, he didn't want to come to Christ. But he said intellectually, he couldn't deny it. So we need to, apologetics will never save a person. But what they do, they tear down some things. Because I've heard unbelievers say, I went to the pastor and was asking him questions. He couldn't give me answers, intelligent answers. Just have faith. You know? We need to know reasons for our faith. You know, not just because our pastor told us, you know, Dr. So-and-so, but because we look in these scriptures too, and we see Christ resurrected. We see the evidence, and then you hear arguments against it. One guy in Russia said that he became, when it was, you know, back in the day, in the Cold War or whatever, he says, because they don't have Bibles over there, right? And he said he read the atheist books, and they had verses from the Bible that they were attacking. He said their arguments were illogical and the scriptures made sense. He trusted in Christ. See, we have faith, but it's faith in facts based on this Word of God, rightly divided. You know, Satan wants you to think that you're stupid, or he wants to shame you when you stand for the grace of God, when you stand for the Word of God, rightly divided. You know, and that's where he uses people to attack, even amongst the body of Christ. I see a lot on Facebook, rightly dividers arguing these little, silly little arguments, and then they wonder why people don't want to listen. You know, we do have to stand and divide for heresies and things, but we need to do it in a graceful, loving way. So again, back to verse 9. Now verse 10. Why do we want to get this knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding? So we can be puffed up and say, hey, you impressed with all my knowledge? You know, look me over, but don't overlook me. You know, I know so much doctrine. I used to have a Bible study for a couple of years, and these two young guys come, and the one guy would always go, "We need more doctrine, more doctrine." And I'm thinking, yeah, why do you need more? Because you ain't applying the doctrine you got. So give me some more, maybe I could do. You know, we need doctrine. And what is doctrine? It's a body of principles. The doctrine, today we're doing the doctrine of thinking. See, you're taking all in different places, and I could do a whole series on this. I'm hoping this will whet your appetites to look into it for yourself and to understand how important our thinking is to God. So what's the reason? That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in what? Knowledge. Why? So I can be puffed up? No. Love edifies. Just knowledge. Why is there people, mid-ex dispensationalists, that just argue? I mean, we're supposed to have the truth, right? The grace of God. Rightly divided, man. Why is there so much factions and this and that? Oh, you know, because if you don't apply the grace of God, like Galatians, you'll eat each other alive. We said you'll devour one another. It's application of the grace of God. See, it's taking what we have in Christ and appropriating by faith and applying it to the details of our life. So he says if we're, I'm trying to think of verse, if we're in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. I know I didn't quote that quite right. You know, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let us walk, conduct our lives in Him. And what I want to say is none of us do that perfect. Anybody this week walking in the Spirit about 3 inches off the air? No, right? See, it's minute by minute, hour by hour. We get our focus off. Okay. Like I know at work, sometime I'm like, I think, Lord, I didn't talk to you about an hour. Okay, I didn't. Now I'm gonna. See, Paul said, what? I forget the past, right? And just get on with it. And focus on the goal. What's he say? I go for the prize. Because we don't know how much time we got, people, right? I'm teaching myself here. You know, I got one finger going out, three back of me. To redeem the time. What's important in this life? Is it important your friend talk behind your back? You know, you didn't get that job. Even I was diagnosed with some. Yeah, that's important. You're gonna have to deal with some. But what's really important, as the brother last week brought, at the judgment seat of Christ, that's what's gonna be real important. What's gonna count for eternity? Everything else is gonna be past, right? So we need to get what? Our thinking in line with God's thinking, right? Go to Colossians 2, 8 through 10. While we're there. See, Satan wants to do something with your thinking too. And how does he do it? Mostly. Everybody thinks Satan's just working on the hookers, you know, on this street and in the drug addicts and in the alleys. Oh, no. He's working in that some, but he got them. He's working in religion, man. Human philosophy, traditions. And they use the Word of God, but don't rightly divide it. There's things in the Word of God for baptismal salvation, if you want. Repent to be baptized for what? The remission of sins, right? There's things for animal sacrifice. You go, yeah, but that was under law. What about before law? Abel brought a sacrifice, didn't he? See, they're in the Bible, but not rightly divided. Satan hates the mystery. He wants to blind believers' eyes to it and keep unbelievers for just understanding the basic things of salvation. Look at what he uses. 2:8-9. Paul is always warning, beware lest anyone spoil you. You know what that means? Lead away as prey, to carry you off as spoil. They want to take something from you. Satan uses people. And so does God. Beware lest any man spoil you. How? How are they going to take something from you? Through philosophy. What is philosophy? Humanistic thinking. Why do you think the Corinthians were such a carnal church? They thought like the world. See? Why is there so much carnality in the church today? Think about like the world. All right. Now I'm going to mention names. Christ did, Paul did. You're Joel Osteens, and you're Kenneth Copelands, and you're Benny Hinn's. Why do you think they fill them churches up? You're Rick Warren's. Sorry, I usually mention him. Why? Because it's a watered down, worldly, God will bless you, he'll fill your pockets, he'll prosper you, you'll always be healed, you'll fill your church up. You got churches with 10, 20,000 people. We got one in the western northern suburbs. People can't even get in the building, they watch on big TVs. Take the offense of the cross out, and what happens? People don't tell people, yet you're sinners, that you can't save yourself. It's you're all victims. You know, deep down, humanistic ways. Human philosophy. That's what Satan does. He works through thinking too. And what vain deceit, that's empty. They're very slick arguments. What's it say? Satan comes as a light, and is it no wonder his ministers come as ministers of righteousness? Everybody who says Jesus ain't Lord on TV ain't, whether it's a believer or ain't teaching accurately. Test all things. And you got to think, don't you? Got to think. Got to know. Got to know Scripture. Got to know how to rightly divide the Word. Got to know in context what things mean. Or Satan will use men to spoil you. After what? The tradition of men. What's that? Religion. My church goes back 2,000 years. Well, when does error through time make it right? Never. If it was a lie back then, it's a lie now. They go, oh, but the early church fathers, have you ever read any of the early church fathers? Some of the things they believed, you wouldn't believe it. Someone believed you could lose your salvation. I think the majority, a whole lot of them believed if you had to get baptized to be saved. Don't forget, the mystery why Paul was alive, he said, all those in Asia have deserted me, right? Didn't say deserted preaching Christ, deserted him, his ministry, his apostleship. And there's a dark time in church history, I think it's 50 to 100 years, there is no history. But Paul's off the scene now, and even in his lifetime, they were turning away from the mystery, the gospel of the pure grace of God, into another gospel. And when you see church history starting, you see the prophetic program being mixed with the mystery program and gobbledygook. So Satan doesn't care about teaching the Word of God. He likes it. As long as you don't rightly divide it. As long as you don't see them differences. Because the Word of God's powerful, so you can take verses and preach them in a certain way out of context and they'll affect people. You know? Don't they use that for... today, Paul tells us what? To give within our means, give with a cheerful heart, right? Not under contrition, pressure. Don't a whole lot of churches go to Malachi? You're robbing God. Right? You're robbing God. That was dealing with Israel. But if you pay your tithes and offerings, what? God will open up the windows of heaven, pour you down blessing. You just, pockets can't hold it, right? It's not, that's he rightly divided. We give, and let me tell you something, just because we're under grace doesn't mean you don't give 10%. Like actually, Israel's tithe was, there was three tithes. I think it was 20, Lloyd, do you know exactly what it was? Was it 23 and a third or something? There was three tithes, you know. So one was, you know, there's government, one helping the people. One you put aside to go to Israel, you know, for probably a Day of Atonement, I think. But anyway, just because we're under grace, you say, we're not under law, we don't got to give 10%. That's true. We should probably give more. because we are blessed so much more. And see, I'm not on the payroll, so I can say that. We shouldn't be cheap with God just because we should want this message to go out. And also, I think we should take care of our pastor. I think he should get a raise. Tell you the truth, he's a good pastor. Amen. And you know, as the church keeps growing, I think hopefully he will. I appreciate him. You know, and I know everyone out here does too. And it says, and after the rudiments of the world, you know what that is? If you look up the word, what it means in the Greek, the idea is the law. The principles of this world, teaching under law. Where Paul says, we're not under law, we're under grace. And not after Christ. See, Satan will use philosophy, thinking. That's why you say, well, how, what do I need to stay away from in order for him? You don't got to do anything. Just don't get into the word. Don't assemble together with other grace believers in a grace teaching, sound teaching church. And Satan will conform your mind. You'll start thinking like the world, and guess what? You'll start acting like the world, and you'll be a saved Christian with no fruit. A waste of a life, right? We don't want that. Do you want that? I don't. I get convicted all the time. Lord, help me to redeem the time. You know, sometimes I think I'm wasting time on some things. It's not that you can't enjoy things, you can't go out. Me and the pastor went out shooting pool, enjoy the football games and that. But we want not only to do other things, the main focus is getting into this word, ministering out this word, loving people, letting them see the love so they'll want to listen to us. And that takes the Holy Spirit to produce it. Let's go to, like I said, I'm never good. Proverbs 23:7. Now this is a verse the prosperity teachers use out of context, of course, to teach, you know, what you think and then you speak forth and you create because you're little gods and that. It has nothing to do with that. What I say, Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he, a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, and say it be to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So somebody's, you know, sort of leading someone actually away from God. Just eat, drink, and be merry, I believe. But as it, look what it says. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, our emotions and our desires are when you're thinking things, your emotions, your desires, they respond to our thinking. If we're, you know, one guy, Bob Schwartz said, he went there, a guy called him up, younger guy, and he says, I don't know why I'm struggling with lust and that. Well, Bob George looks on his table, what's he got? A dirty magazine. It's not complicated. Garbage in, garbage out. If Christians get into pornography, a man is visually stimulated. You put that in, your desires are going to follow. And then you're saying, why am I struggling? Watch what goes into our eye gate, what we're listening to. How about dirty teaching? False teaching. You keep listening to that stuff. I can't believe sometime that I hear some grace believers that listen to some really bad teachers. But I will say one thing. We can learn. Now, certain people, like a clock, a broken clock, it's like twice a day. But I ain't going to use it. So some people I wouldn't listen to. I'd turn them off as soon as I hear it, unless I'm doing research. But other people, and not only people that are mid-axis positionalists, I learned from. Because if God only had to use mid-axis positionalists, would he have much to work with overall? No. See, how come there's some people that are actually very spiritual in their walk and they don't really understand mid-axis? Why? Because they're applying what they know. They're taking some of them verses in Paul. They don't know that that is what's directly to us and for us. So only there's all the scriptures we learn from, but they're applying it. You know, there's some I've heard, thinking of one story, older black woman, so wise. People went to her for advice. Why? She knew the word of God. Did she know how to rightly divide it? No. So I learned from other people too. And I learned from people I disagree with. But know the truth. This way you won't be taken in by error. Remember, thoughts, how does Satan work? Deception. A lot of things, wiles, methods. But he throws what Mary calls sometimes doubting darts, flaming darts to our mind. And he works through the flesh. Actually, through him, he's corrupting the flesh even more. Because the flesh has them things there. And in the believer, we have flesh. Right? What I want to do, Paul said, I don't do what I don't want. Because he was getting himself back under law. So our thoughts are very important. What we're focusing on. When the Word of God, when we take it in, the Holy Spirit brings it to our mind, or illumines our spirit, if you want, which teaches our mind. Then that's going to make us go to our desires and attitudes. And it's filtered through our attitudes. If our attitude is, I want to serve God with everything I am, when God says forgive, as you're forgiven, what do? I don't feel like it, but your attitude is, I want to glorify Christ. I do it, then I get the feelings later. Satan says, do it. If it feels good, do it, right? So it's filtered through our attitudes. So it's not only knowing things, what's our attitudes? Do we have godly attitudes? How do you know where God's attitudes are? What his thoughts are in his word, right? So you see in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the things of God? Are you thinking about the things of the world? You're going to be like that. Jesus said what? You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll know. Isn't that thinking? It's knowing something. Go to 2 Corinthians. I got 4 minutes. I'm jumping ahead about, you wouldn't believe how many verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For the weapons of our warfare, see, we're in a war. It's a war that's already been won. Christ destroyed the devil, Scripture says. Does that mean he ain't around anymore? No, it destroyed his power. He brought us out from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, kingdom of light, right? He's defeated. He can't do one thing to us, but we can let him. We can allow them thoughts that he would throw that would filter through our flesh. And he can destroy our testimonies. He can destroy our families. That's why it's so important to get into this word. You say, I could never do that. Oh, for the right circumstances. We shouldn't ask, how can a Christian do that? Bob Georgie says, how could God do anything good to us? And if he does, praise God that he can use us. Because he's justified us. He's declared us righteous. That's why he can use us. And we need to think about that stuff. Because if you don't, Satan will bring them thoughts, right? Look what you did. Look what you thought. God can't use you. Get your focus on you instead of on thinking on God. So he says, starting verse 3, I'm sorry. For though we walk in the flesh, so in these bodies, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. See, we got weapons. God's equipped us with the total victory program under grace. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So you got to think about things. You got to know it. When thoughts come to your mind, you got to take, what's it say? Well, let's keep going. Casting down imaginations. When you get imaginations, you got to grab them, cast them down, take every thought captive. That's with our will. It's through the Holy Spirit, but He allows us to use our will. Because then only because you have a will can you serve God out of love. And that's what He's looking for. Not to serve Him out of you. He's going to punish you. He's not. To get some from Him, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's because, Lord, I want to serve You because I love You. Because You first loved me. I can't even talk about my love much. I could never love You enough, Lord. But You loved me so much when I was a sinner. You sent Your Son. I was a rebel. He sent the Son to die for us. When Satan says, God don't love you, you think of the cross. When he brings up your past, you tell him about his future. See, he hates the believer of grace. Know you're going to get attacked. If you stand for the mystery, God's grace, Paul's apostleship, because Satan hates it. That was his defeat. It was a secret God kept hidden in his heart, and he showed Satan's foolishness to think he can hang with God. He was a fool. He has a corrupted wisdom. He can't even touch. You can't touch this, God said. Like MC Hammer, you say. You know? And Satan hates it. That's why our thinking is so important to God. And we got it. I'm going to be wrapping up. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Imaginations is thinking, right? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We got to take every thought. When thoughts come, you got to realize where they're coming from. If they're coming from the flesh, which Satan, you say, nope, that's not me. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm wholly acceptable in His sight. I know where that's coming from, and I get my mind off that. And Lord, just go to Romans 6, and I'll close out with this. Remember I said in the beginning, I would say again what growth is? Romans 6. I'll take a minute here because it's time to go. Paul, early in the chapter, said, don't you know something? You died with Christ. You were buried. You rose with Him, right? That happened. Now, verse 11. God did everything. Christ did everything. The only thing He tells us to do is reckon. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's reckon mean? Count. Right? When you count, what are you doing? You're thinking. Count. You're calculating. When you, that's why you meditate on the Word of God. Start understanding, I died with Christ, I was buried. What's that mean? How does that apply? And when you get tempted, you take that thought captive, whether it's whatever. It could be a lustful. It could be tempted to water down the message. Tempted to be quiet. That's why Paul prayed for boldness. That's our part, reckoning, thinking. God using our mind. There's so many much more I had to do. God deals a lot with our thinking and thoughts. We need to think like God. So what is growth? Paul said, don't you know? It's knowing who you are in Christ. What He accomplished at Calvary, through His death, burial, and resurrection, that you have Christ within you. It's knowing that, then what? Reckoning yourself dead to sin when you get wrong thoughts. No, I'm dead to that. But I'm not focused on it because it says reckon yourself alive to God. Now I'm thinking to God. Lord, teach me who I am so I'll walk consistent. I'll bring glory to Christ. My life will have real meaning and purpose. So, sorry I went like a couple minutes over. I'm going to close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I always think I never get everything in, but it doesn't really matter. It's Your Spirit that can take even a couple minutes and touch people's hearts, illumine their minds. So I just always give it to you anyway, Lord. I depend on you. So whatever is done, I give Christ the glory because it's Him in me and Him in us, Lord. Help us to see each other as Christ is ahead. We're in Him. We're one with Him and we're one with each other. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will work in our thought life. Give us a hunger to get into Your Word, God. Give us boldness to share with others Your grace and this mystery. And when we go through things, Lord, strengthen us and help us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you for listening so well. Not throwing any tomatoes or anything. Yeah.
Terrible. Last week, the Word of God and everything else is on this program. Unbelievable.
Dude, honey, do you know how to turn this off?
There's nothing. We have the